You see these women? He went to the women. He said they're weeping for Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was supposed to resurrect in the spring, and there was a fertility issue, and it was all immorality driven, and Israel's women were weeping for Tammuz. And he said, this is one of the greatest abominations in town. Why? Because women are so influential. There was only one thing that outdid it, and it was the 70 elders of Israel who had apostatized too. But folks, listen, ladies, you need to see this. Look what he says. He says that the aged women also likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh godliness. The word behavior is a word demeanor, deportment, or bearing. Now, we don't like, again, men don't like to be thought of as elderly or, you know, older men. Presbyteros is the word, and presbyteris is the word for the ladies. It means the older ladies and the older men he's talking to out of the gate, because they're the leadership. They're the ones who call the tune in the society. You know, they're the ones we look to, used to. Now we kind of marginalized, but used to. But your influence is still profound. But he says here of the elderly ladies, he says that they're supposed to have a life that becometh godliness. Now this is an interesting word because that prepo word is connected to the word godly. He says that you ought to be outstanding. You ought to stand out as godly. Stand out as godly. I look at that and I couple it with the next thing he talks about for the younger women, because he says to the younger women that they may teach the younger women to be sober. Literally, it means to call the younger women to their senses. Why is that true? Because there's a great deal of power that a woman, when she grows up, begins to realize she has over men. Men will, you know, what do they say? The Cleopatra launched 1,000 ships. I mean, we're talking about women who can drive men. At that early age especially, the men start looking at them and start pandering to them, and they start, you know, fawning over them. It's just what happens. It's the way of God's creation. But it's a power that comes with a great deal of responsibility. So they sometimes, those younger women, need to be called to their senses. Wake up. Don't be foolish and don't misuse this. And once you've gotten past that age of being fawned over in a real deliberate sense or overt sense or in a collective sense, wherever you go, now, as an older lady, a lady who is indeed can wear the name lady, he says you need to have a life that becometh godliness. It's hero prepos, that word prepo again. It's the idea of to stand out as godly. You need to stand out as godly. Now, what does that look like? That's sort of a generalized term. Well, first of all, it says not false accusers. You know what the word is? It's the word diabolos. Diabolos. When you hear something like that down in Mexico, don't they have Diablo? It means literally to be somebody who casts through. This is a name for the devil. Don't be devilish. Don't be somebody who kills with their words. You know, women with the dove's eyes we saw in our studies of Song of Solomon in recent years. The whole idea of having dove's eyes was huge for Solomon as he looked at the Shulamite. Because her dove's eyes were what would made him inflate. The dove's eyes were what made him feel like he needed to protect her, and what he needed to be sharp and on his game and on top. But the other side is true too. If the eye narrows and it becomes evil, if the tongue lashes out and becomes harsh, it can deflate and destroy. So he says, don't be a slanderer. Don't be a diabolos. And really, he's talking about to your husband. Because he puts it in the context. He says, not false accusers. He says, not given to much wine. And literally, that is the idea of luxury. Okay? Because in that day, you say, well, there it is. We can drink wine, just not a whole lot of it. Folks, listen, biblically, the wine they had back then was less than beer is today. And it wasn't really made for fermentation. It was made as the only alternative to water and milk. Okay? And what they would do is they would oftentimes take the wine, put it in a wineskin. It would harden like cider sometimes does. And they would actually cut it with water because they just enjoyed some flavor. They didn't have Coke, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper. Okay, you got to understand biblical times they weren't reaching for. What it was, wine was a fruit of the vine, and thus it was a luxury to have it in your house. Not just everybody had grape juice. Today we got Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Diet, you know this. We got mixes and everything. We don't kind of put our minds in this mode here, what they are talking about. When he says not given to much wine, he's talking about don't be a luxurious person. Don't try to be luxurious. You're an older lady. You need to have a life that becomes godliness. Don't be given to luxury. Don't pamper yourself all the time. Don't say, well, I've got to have my grape juice. I've got to have my Coke or my Pepsi. Now, that's small compared to what we have. Well, I've got to have my bling. I've got to have my, you know, my nails done. I've got to have tanning. All these things that people do today, they chase all this luxury. And we are affluent. Nothing wrong with it. But don't be given to it. Don't be given to it. See? You can have it and use it, but don't let it have you. Okay? Because if it has you, you're going to be mad when you don't get it. Okay? And that's why it says not given to much wine. Then he goes on to say, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Really, Greek word, kalos, we've seen it before, beautiful things. There's agathos, which is good in its nature, by nature good. Here he's saying, ladies, teach beautiful things to these ladies around you. Because he's going to say it in the next verse. That they may teach the younger women. To be what? Teach the younger women that they be sober. Also, collected and calm in mind. And literally, the idea is the idea of being called to their senses, as I mentioned a moment ago. And then here's how it looks. How does it look to be called to your senses? Love your husbands. Love your children. And you know, it's not agape. It's not about sacrificing for them. It's being nice. The word phileo. Phileo. It's the word of Philadelphia. It's the word being fond of them, liking them. Now, this is the only place we really see where God commands women to love their families. Okay, because usually it's sort of inherent. But here he's telling these Cretan people that they need to be told about how they need to be good to their husband. Love their husband. Like them. If you don't like them so much, like them anyway. Find a way to like them. Remember what you liked about them when you married them. Because the more you get to know, sometimes it's not the more you like them, okay? Sometimes it's harder. But don't forget to like your husband. Befriend your husband. He needs a friend, by the way. Guys need a friend. The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. We need a friend. We need somebody who's there with us. You know, when you got a friend, you know, they say, hey, let's go here. You say, oh, let's go. Cool. You know, it's not all about you when you're with your friend. It's all about, hey, what's going to make everybody happy in the room? You know, how can we do this? And so he says to the older women, teach these good, these beautiful things. And what do the beautiful things look like? Well, they're going to be calling them to their senses because there's a whole lot of other things they can do. Marriages are falling apart. People are walking out of their marriages. Why? Because the confines of society have been broken down in the past 30, 40, 50 years. Women can be just as much licentious and immoral as men used to try to be sometimes, but now they don't have any reason to say no. And women are walking out on their husbands. And the tide hasn't turned enough to where women have to pay child support when they walk out or get penalized by losing their children for walking out. I remember years ago I saw a TV show on a Saturday morning that was telling my kids, you can call this number if your parents are mean to you. Had a Barney-type guy on there. And I was like, whoa. Well, you know what? Women know now. The backstory of their mind. If I leave this guy, I'll get half of everything. They know that. Now, that knowledge is power, isn't it? That's huge. I can destroy this guy. Nobody will even say wrong, foul to me. Used to be, if a woman did something like that, it was hugely wrong. Now, what I'm saying is this. You have to be a teacher of good things. And you have to love your husband. You have to like him. Learn to like your husband. Like your kids. A lot of women leave their families because they don't want to be a mom. Why? Because the world's told them, you need to have your freedom. So he says, these are some beautiful things. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about good works. What good works? Good works are men do a certain thing, live a certain way, own a certain disposition and demeanor. Ladies have a certain disposition and demeanor. What does he say? To love their husbands, verse 4, to love their children, phileo, to love them, to like them, and to be discreet. And the word discreet has its own ideas behind it. It's that word sophron I told you about a minute ago. To have that saving knowledge. Realize, you can save your children. And you can save your man. If you just understand how powerful you are. So he says, be sophron. Have a saving understanding about your family. And then he brings it up another step. He says, chaste. The word is hagnos. It literally means you need to be awesome. You need to be holy. You need to have the kind of life that he respects. You know what? If somebody comes up to me and says, Dave, you did a good job, and they're a bum on the street, I'm going to say, well, thanks, but it doesn't mean much to me. Guy doesn't do a good job. He doesn't do a job at all. But if somebody I respect says, Dave, you did a good job, I'm going to be like, wow, thanks. I really appreciate that. And it does something for me. Folks, listen. You and I need to strive to be respectable in our families to our mates. Ladies, you need to be respectable to your husband. He needs to look at you and respect you. That means take care of yourself. You keep your mind on the realities around you, and you live intentionally. You do it biblically. You have that holiness undergirding you. And when you say, honey, I think you can do anything, he's going to believe you. If you walk around half undone, you know, always never doing your face, never doing your hair, you know, lazing around, you know, getting started late, everything bad, you're going to kind of undercut the respect he'll have when you say you do the good job. I'm just trying to help us in our day to understand that the freedom comes with a responsibility. And when he says you need to be chaste, he's talking about being holy. Be awesome. Because when you're awesome and you speak to him, it's going to change his world. It's going to keep him motivated. Look what it says further. It says not only that, it says chaste, but keepers at home. I love that. Because it's been so misunderstood. When I get on it, I get to help you. Because this is a huge word. It's the only place in the Bible this word appears. It doesn't mean you can't have a job. What it literally means is it means to be a home guardian, to be the guardian of the home, to realize that the home is under assault constantly by the sway of the world. It wants to destroy, tear down the fabric of society. The devil's all about the chaos. God says you ladies have point on keeping the home intact. When you walk away from the home and say the home's not important, basically it undermines society. Did I say you can't work? No. I just said you need to make it your number one priority. If you have to work, work, fine. But keep the home. You want to know what God's purpose is for your life? He wants you to be a home guardian. He wants you to guard the building block of society. And that is the home. And he says, be chaste, be keepers at home. And he says, good. Now here the word good is the word agathos. Be good in nature. Be good in spirit. Be good to people around you. You know, one of the things that my wife brings to the table that just kind of makes me slow down is she'll say, isn't that cute? I say, what? And I say, oh, I stepped, oh, sorry, you know. But she makes me slow down because she has a good heart. You know, when I was a little kid, I had a tender heart. And I shot a pigeon and it laid there and kind of moved a little bit and blood was coming out and it kind of creeped me out. It was a bad thing, okay? But as I got older, I thought, I need to kill something, you know, and I went hunting, and they all knew I was coming, so I never got to. But my point is for men are supposed to toughen up and get past that. Women, you're not supposed to. Always be good, always be tender, because you are the soft spot in our world. You remind us to care for our beasts. You remind us to take care of our animals and not run over the groundhogs on purpose. Okay, some of y'all, you need to behave, okay? Let your wife, don't really make your wife feel... You did it, didn't you, Ron? Ron said, oh, okay, I don't know. We aren't going to take time for the stories right now. But you can share with me later because I love those stories. I'm driving along with a guy. I kid you not. We hit a groundhog, and it was full-grown, fattened-up groundhog. He didn't miss a beat. He was just kept on talking. He acted like he didn't hit. I mean, I'm like, what did we just hit? And he just kept going. And then I said, did you know that was a little kid back there? And he said, no. He said, that's the groundhog. And he said, he knew he hit it. He said, that's the one that's been messing around in my garden for the past 3 months. So I understood. He not only didn't care, he was a happy guy. I don't know. Might have explained why we were driving around in a field in the first place. I don't know. Well. But I digress. All right. So he says to the women, you need to be good. Keep that goodness, that tenderness, that soft spot. And he says, obedience. Now, you know, you used to say in your vows that you will love, honor, and obey. And a lot of women, I'm not going to obey. Me obey him? There was a book called Me Obey Him. I remember this book came out from the Sword of the Lord and John R. Rice's group up down there, and it was called Me Obey Him. And it was interjected into the congregation, and the women just went ballistic. It was like everybody was just all in tears and upset because this book was very poignant, pointed on this issue of obeying. Well, the word literally is that same word back in Ephesians you're very familiar with. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. It's hupotasso. It means to arrange yourself under your husband, to realize he needs you to be under there to help him. God said in the very beginning, it was not good that men be alone, but he made him a helper suitable. helper suitable for him, somebody who could help him. You know, if you'd have been another guy, guys don't want to hear a word from another guy unless they ask. Most guys want to do it themselves. And if you ever hear guys talking, you know how they talk? They don't go in and say, you know, you could do it this way typically. They understand guy stuff. They go,